I know, City's been hard to throw. They've still got a good squad. They're just...
There's literally nothing wrong with City.
Yeah.
But everything's going wrong for City.
Yeah, they just can't seem to put it together for some unknown reason.
There's great players in that squad. They're fading fast. There needs to be some deep thoughts about what the squad's going to do and what they're going to... City have the best youth system in the country. Best youth players. I don't know if that is what Guardiola will pick up on, and that's what he'll decide to go with to make City come back. But if he's going to do it, this is the time to do it, because right now nobody expects them to win the league. As long as he makes the top four, he'll be okay.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's just going to be his target now. And he may slip and miss that one. I don't really see it on their current form. I don't really see them doing it, but
yeah.
Our top four is going to be it. I see here there's a nice lovely report that both Aguero and David Silva might be transferring away from City, which could be reasonably interesting for both of them to leave. I think that would be...
David, I never thought I'd say this, but Sergio Aguero's been in terrible form this season.
Yeah, I know. I mean, he was in good form to begin with.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's really been the... synonymous with the form of City as a whole. He sort of started well and they started well and then he suddenly just dropped and
City's performance started not working. Sergio Aguero has been like the new Ronaldo, as in Brazilian Ronaldo. He just was this deadly striker. He could be missing all game, but he could change games in seconds by just doing things nobody else could do. And he still is that player, he's a wonderful, wonderful player. And we've just been so used to him being that good for so long.
Yeah, yeah.
That now that he's kind of hit a bit of a rough patch, we're going, it's really noticeable. And it shows how much City depend on him to get those goals. That being said, maybe it is time for both of them to say goodbye and... move on. I don't know where Aguero would go.
I didn't look at the thing to see where he's going. But I can have a look.
And David Silva has been basically the best attacking midfielder in the Premiership for a long time.
Yeah.
That guy behind the striker, getting into all these positions, causing all sorts of trouble for.
Yeah, it doesn't say where Aguero is going, just that Pep wants him gone. But Silva apparently has been linked also to the Chinese Super League, £50 million move to the Super League in China.
£50 million for David Silva is a great price.
Yeah. And £30 million for Nasri as well.
£30 million for Nasri is ridiculous.
Yeah, both apparently going to the Chinese Super League. It's just the Chinese Super League apparently flexing its financial muscle by the sounds of things. They're throwing money left, right and centre over there to try and lure...
Despite the new rules saying that they can only play four foreign players at once. I'm going to be sceptical about that.
Yeah, I don't know how they're managing to throw all this money. There's lots of players being linked to the Chinese teams. I mean, Costa's been. Oscar's already gone there. You've got Nasri and Silva linked there. I mean, it's getting a bit ridiculous of how much they seem to be throwing money at players, as you say, given the fact that it's meant to be four players per team. So, but I guess each team over there has got enough money to throw at four foreign players, so they're getting the four best players they possibly can.
That's the weirdest thing. I feel like they're doing it wrong because they've got this limit. We all knew in the IPL that we all thought that, whoever gets the good foreign players would... But it doesn't work that way. You have to have, according to the rules, you have to have at least four under-23 players from India in your wider playing squad.
Yeah, yeah.
So what happens is, like, your reasonably good young Indian player is the one who costs you a lot of money. And that's who everybody's after, because that's where you make the difference. And... because at the end of the day, there's not much difference between Dale Steyn and Glenn McGrath. They're both great fast bowlers. You're not going to...
Yeah.
You don't need two of them. You're happy to take one. You're happy to take someone who's 80% as good as Glenn McGrath.
Yeah. So that's where that auction comes in, you know? You don't need to throw a whole heap of money at someone. You just, well, that's, he's got above a certain price. Fine, I'll just wait for the next one. There's a whole host of international T20 players out there I can choose from, and they're all gladly come and play, and they'll all do exactly what I want them to. Yes, there's some that are upper bracket and some that are lower bracket, but you know, even then, you know, everybody, there's enough in the upper bracket that they'll get spread. They need to get spread around anyway. So,
and so I feel like in the Chinese Super League, it should be the good. It's going to be the good Chinese players that are going to eventually have the big price tags. And I wonder if that is going to be good for Chinese football, because having a player who is very good for the Chinese league costs $50-60 million is going to put a huge, like, pressure on a player like, you know. On a player like them, imagine someone like Park Ji-sung having a $70 million price tag on them. Like, Park Ji-sung's a great player.
Absolutely fantastic.
And if he was Chinese, you know, in the Chinese Super League, he is worth that $70 million to play.
I know what you mean. There'd be that added pressure of the Chinese player having a belly on them, playing in front of Chinese fans, who then go, "Well, our club paid heaps of money for you, and you're a local guy. Oh, you've got to be good because you're being paid the same as these ridiculous overseas stars." We're like, "Well, they're gods." So,
And so, like in the Premiership, you have the inflated price for the English players because there is effective because of the fair play rules and rules around keeping your a certain amount of your players have to be under 23.
Yeah, well, it inflates the prices of good youth players around the world as the big clubs come chasing them to lure them in early enough so that they can count as their homegrown talent, even if they come from far and wide.
Yep. And, like, there's no such homegrown rules, so...
Yeah.
And I feel like one of the reasons why clubs in Europe are strong is that they are buying a lot of... They are contracting players while they're quite young and playing their youth against their youth players. Your Rafael De Silvas and all of them, they played in youth teams with Marcus Rashford, and
this
is where you're seeing the results from that, where they're...
I know.
So your player... So China will need to buy expensive youth players, but are they going to... Where is this? How's that going to work out in a four-limit per league? And there's no, they don't count as homegrown players. So
no, I don't know. So it's going to be interesting to say. It does seem a bit of a way of just throwing money into the league to make it good. And go, we've got a good league now. We've got all these star international players. Yay! And the four per team is just to ensure that all the star players get spread around all the teams evenly. So every team gets four awesome players. And go, cool, now we'll go. And I don't think that really the plan around, any planning around...
Well, the four-player per league rule was introduced by the league because they thought the prices were ridiculous, which I agree with.
Yeah.
And they have been thinking very long and hard about introducing a salary cap, which I think is actually quite prudent by the Chinese league to do, because it's money being spent that's not necessary. You don't need to spend $50 million on David Silva. I'm very sure that Manchester City would be happy to sell David Silva for at least, if not $30 million even, they would...
Yeah, the question I think would be whether a Chinese Super League team throwing that money, that sort of more realistic money, and would be at the same look, or whether City would just go, yeah, if we're going to sell him for that, we'll, you know.
See, they're selling it to a player who will never play against them. He's not going to play in the Champions League. He's not going to play in the Premiership.
I mean, it does have that benefit.
He's not coming back to bite them in the arse. City, unless they're going to face him in, like, the World Championship, World Club Championships, but, you know, that's not really a thing.
No. I know, it's a safe bet from that point of view, in that you don't have to worry about the player coming back and beating you in a crucial moment of something you care about.
And David Silva's at the age where another European club's not going to take the punt to buy him back from a Chinese club at a later age.
Oh, when he goes to... If he's gone to China, he's in China.
Yeah. Oscar, yes, that could come back to bite Chelsea, because Man United might come next season and go, hey, we like Oscar, he's good at the Premiership.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got a $400 million deal. How do you like China? How are you coping? I mean, are you settling well? Are you not? Or if you're not settling well, would you like to come back to England then?
I know. I was actually recently surprised that Chelsea sold Oscar. I know he hadn't really been playing. that he'd sort of slipped down the rankings for those midfield positions. There's only really two positions he could. There's only really two positions now in Conte's lineup that Oscar could fit into, and Hazard and Pedro taking the top two with Willian slipping in at number three behind them as the cover, and Oscar was fourth if not fifth. There's still Fabregas to slip in there somewhere, though he normally fills into the more defensive setting and plays as a deep playing playmaker sort of thing. So I could see why sort of they moved him on, because he wasn't really fitting in, but same point. It's an awesome player. It's a bit surprising. But.
Yeah. I mean, this is what's happened to Chelsea with Kevin De Bruyne. They were like, let's sell him to Wolfsburg. He's not fitting into and City bottom next season. And it came back to bite them.
Oh, yeah, no, it happens fairly often for us.
Romelu Lukaku being another example of that.
Well, that one, he's being awesome at the club that we sold him to. He went straight from us to there. Yeah. That was just more of a lack of a him didn't want to fight for the he wanted to just be the first choice striker, and he wasn't going to be the first choice striker at Chelsea, so that was sort of a forced sell. But we sold him to Everton and then he became awesome, but we knew he was awesome, so it wasn't a surprise.
No,
he could have been awesome for us. He just would have had to be fighting for that number one spot, and he just wanted to be the automatic choice, and at Everton he was. So Daniel Sturridge would probably be another one. So I don't think he went straight to Liverpool from Liverpool. I think he's gone via another club, I can't remember. But anyway, it took him a season or two to find himself as being a
I think that's where Mourinho's underestimating of youth players, or really doesn't care about youth players. And he's more than happy to pay lots of money to buy them back later on.
Yeah, Sturridge was an example of him not caring about youth players, because that was him not playing him, and then Sturridge going, well, we're not going to play him, we're going to leave. And Mourinho go, whatever. And in fact, I don't even know if it was Mourinho by this stage, it might have been after him. But Lukaku was actually the opposite, where that was Mourinho, and Mourinho went, you're actually awesome, I want you in the team. But, and Lukaku went, well, I want to start. And Mourinho went, I can't guarantee that. You have to show me that you can start, because we've got these strikers over here, so, you're fitting in with these guys, and these are all international class strikers, and so you've got to prove that. I think you can do it. You've got the goods. And Lukaku went, no. I want to be the number one. And he went, well, fine. And off you go. Go back to Everton and be number one at Everton. See how many winners' medals you get in the next 5 years. Oh, none? Oh, right, yeah. So.
Fair enough. I guess Lukaku did go the big fish, small pond route.
Yeah. But that's what he wanted to do. It was, well, at least that's how the papers or the stories all broke out about it, was the fact that he didn't want to be the small fish in the big pond. He wanted the other way around, basically. He wanted
or a medium fish in the big pond.
Yeah, or medium fish in the big pond. He wanted to be playing week in, week out. And at Chelsea, Mourinho couldn't guarantee week in, week out, because obviously he was going to be one of three or four star strikers.
Well, interestingly, you guys are supposedly getting Benteke.
Yeah, I did see that rumour.
Well, part of the reason why Lukaku probably wanted to play week in, week out is he wanted to make that Belgium squad for the World Cup.
Oh, yeah, no, that was part of it, yeah.
And Benteke being number one choice for Belgium, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if we're getting Benteke, I guess that's showing that Costa maybe is on the way out, which is the other rumour that I said before, that Costa's apparently going to the Chinese.
Benteke's a fine player, and he can do things Costa can't do, but Costa can do... I know. Costa, I feel like, fits this Chelsea team style of play so well, especially the way he's playing now.
Yeah, but I mean, we've got
that he's playing. that tactically flexible striker who's happy to go around, not get goals, and just create nuisance value amongst the defenders.
Yeah.
Everybody else get goals.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
Like, despite his reputation, Costa is almost the consummate unselfish striker.
Oh no, yeah. His reputation isn't really about him being a selfish striker. I think. Yeah, and you're right. He doesn't care so much. Whilst he's got a big ego, he doesn't care about him being the one that scores the goals.
No.
He does score all the goals, but he doesn't actually... That's not his driving force. His driving force is being central to winning.
Yeah.
So whether that's him scoring the goals, whether that's him being instrumental in setting up the goals. Whether that's him just being, I didn't even touch the ball, nobody came near me, but I was over here and there was like three defenders following me around the whole time and the rest of the team ran riot. Hey, that was all me. Yeah, he even that works in his
yeah.
version of reality.
It is actually a very unselfish attitude for someone with such a... And it's driven by ego. Like, unselfishness is driven by his ego.
Yeah.
And that's what made him a good striker at Atletico. Part of the reason why Falcao was amazing at Atletico was because Costa was around. Not just giving the assists, which is also what he's capable of, but more than happy to take the heat off... him and like to make defenders' lives miserable so that Falcao could do what Falcao does.
Yeah, well, I think that's the other thing Costa does, right? He's the big, strong centre forward. He gets up in the faces of the central defenders, and he does. So the central defenders get all riled up at him, so the central defenders come after him. So he's got the ball, and the central defenders are all swarming at him, and he just lays it off and off to the other player, and the central defenders, all right, that's right, we're meant to be doing stuff. So, but actually, the thought of Benteke coming here sort of says that maybe Batshuayi hasn't really worked for Costa, or for Conte, I should say. And from when he's been on the field, nothing really shown why that is the case. Well, I mean, he hasn't been the choice of striker when Costa's not available.
Sir Alex Ferguson once said that you can never have too many strikers in your squad.
I mean, there is that too. That was Mourinho's way as well. He's like, world-class strikers? Yeah, I'll have another one of those, thanks. I've already got five? Number one.
Well, to be fair, Louis van Gaal was the same. I don't think he needed Falcao, but he was kind of like, well, if there's a good player like Falcao around, and we don't even have to buy a fee, we just have to pay him lots of money for his wages, well, I think that's worth the punt.
Yeah, well, we did the same thing in Chelsea. Yeah. We got Falcao when we didn't really need Falcao, and then he didn't really play anyway. And then we went, but the same thing, we just got to pay his ridiculous wage bill? Well, it's fine, that's just a...
We have to pay ridiculous wage bills for good strikers. Oh dear, who didn't know this was going to happen?
But it made it less risk, right? You just pay his thing, and if it didn't work out, fine, we'll just pay out the contract.
And I feel like Falcao's actually now back at Monaco and doing amazing.
Oh yeah, no, back at Monaco, he's doing quite well there. It's quite ridiculous, but yeah, I don't know. It appears the Premier League just didn't really quite...
quite got over.
As I was saying, it'd be more that he didn't settle into the Premier League. And the Premier League is a place where you need to be given time to settle into. It's never the place... No, I don't think there's many players. There's not many great names I can think off the top of my head who, from the word go, were like, Premier League, yeah, this is me, I'm fine, I'm...
Basically Ibrahimovic.
Yeah, I think that's probably the only one you're at. But most others have taken a month or two at the minimum, like the bare minimum of playing to be like, oh yes, I see what we need to do here. And yeah, if you're getting injuries during that time like Falcao did, both at Chelsea and United and everywhere, you're not going to settle if you're constantly off being injured and having to sit out and then get back into it. So he's never going to have the chance to show his wares.
Which is a pity, because when he did get to do something amazing, he was good.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, maybe he'll come back and someone else will
take... Well, he's apparently also being lured to China.
Yeah, well, of course he is.
Yep.
Everybody is.
Well, look, I'm not going to lie. Even if Oscar is never in contention for a spot in the Brazilian team ever again, getting paid $500,000.
Yeah, no.
Like, even at 2 years in China, he'd be like, yep, 2 years I'm in China, earned my retirement money, and then look, now I'll try again to get into the Brazilian team.
Yeah, exactly. So obviously that was all part of his thought process when he agreed to move there. I mean, just because Chelsea agreed to sell him doesn't mean he needs to move. He might go, no, I'm fine staying here, sort of thing.
I think Chelsea, you're paying $50 million for Oscar? Yeah, that's a fair price for our fifth-choice midfielder in that position.
Yeah, exactly.
That's more than fair. And you're not an English club, so we're not selling you to the direct competition, so that's fine.
Yeah, though I don't think Chelsea were too worried about selling Oscar. I mean, I was surprised about it, but I could see the rationale behind it, so...
But, well, that's all we have time for. But thanks very much. I look forward to hearing from you again.
See you next time.
See you.